We're going to jump right in, and I want to tell you a story real quick about an interesting thing that I had heard about. There's a tribe in the African rainforest that what they do is, and have done for as long as their history has been, they're a great warrior tribe. And one of the things that has made them such a great warrior tribe was that they had the ability, when they would go to war, they had what you call technology, or they had smarts, they had weaponry that would allow them to be able to defeat their enemies to a point where they had never been overcome or ever been subdued. They were an unbeatable rainforest tribe. And so for as long as history had been, they had never been defeated and never been beaten. Every time they were ever attacked or came against by an enemy, they were able to defeat them, all due to the technology of warfare they had. Comes down to a poison tip on a blow dart that they would use. Other tribes would come against them and come to attack them, but they had poison, they say, that is so potent that if a man were to prick his finger with the tip of a dart, with the poison that they put on their arrows, he would die of cardiac arrest just by pricking a finger. And so this rainforest tribe, they had the Amazon rainforest. They had developed this poison that they would put on their darts, and the recipe to it was top secret. And as history has went by and times have begun to change and, you know, populations began to move and technologies and cultures begin to merge, this tribe, although they were alone or sect among themselves for such a long season, they began to intermingle, but yet they still had this technology or this weapon or this warfare of this recipe for this poison that they would make out of roots and make out of buds. I believe one of the ones they say was like monkey blood was in it and all these different things. They were able to keep the recipe secret by speaking it or only keeping the recipe to it in their native tongue. Now, as history has went by, that native tongue has been forgotten because the tribes and stuff began to quit speaking it. So the only remnant left of that native tongue still to this day that is even, there's proof that this native tongue exists, is the recipe for that poison they use on that poison dart is spoken out in that native tongue. In other words, no one else speaks the language anymore except for the recipe for that poison dart. And if you're not a family bloodline to that tribe, then you don't know the recipe. When they would speak those words or that language, you wouldn't know what those ingredients were. And there would be no way for you to duplicate that weapon that they would use that kept them impenetrable or undefeated all these years. Now, we're speaking about, over the last few weeks, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. And ever since the church began to emerge in the New Testament, the New Testament church has had a secret weapon, the same as that tribe in the Amazon forest, that has kept the church impenetrable since the time of the Holy Spirit came. But what's happened, we've talked about this several times in the last couple of weeks, is we've become so culturized, and so, you know, other cultures have come in and developed in the church. There was a day that speaking in tongues was not a foreign thing in the church. It was something common that, you know, parents did it, and their kids did it, and their kids did it, and it wasn't a weird thing, and there didn't have to be great altar calls and huge services, and the power of God had to fall so thick and so strong for someone to actually get filled with the Holy Spirit. It was such a common thing that someone could simply ask for the Holy Spirit, they would receive the Holy Spirit, and they would have the evidence of speaking in tongues. Didn't have to be accompanied with all the goosebumps and all the other things that we try to duplicate now. But nowadays, because the church has become so culturized and so foreign from its original stance, especially in the area of speaking in tongues, it's become such a weird thing. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of us as Christians has lost the potential and the power of having the weapon that the Lord wanted us to have by speaking, the ability to speak and pray in other tongues. And so now you've got Christians that have actually grown up in churches 20 and 30 years old in the Lord and not understanding, not having the ability to, or not even having a desire to be a tongue-talking, spirit-filled believer. Now, when we say tongue-talking, spirit-filled believer, I mentioned this several weeks in a row, does not mean you're not going to heaven. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a salvational issue, because the thief on the cross that hung on the cross beside Jesus did not speak in tongues, and Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, but Jesus said it like this. He said, "Now that it is finished," when he said it's finished on the cross, "I must go so that I can send up. It is better for you that I leave so that the Holy Spirit can come." Meaning that, man, there's more to what God has for us than just forgiveness of sin. And the personal relationship with the Holy Spirit is one of the better thans that Jesus was able to offer us. Now, when you mention the Holy Spirit, you mention speaking in tongues, a lot of people automatically turn you off because it's weird. If you missed last week, what we talked about, it, we don't consider it weird. We talked about bird hunting. We don't consider it weird for grown men to grow huge beards, put on crazy looking tuxedos, go sit in a duck blind and put a duck call in their mouth to make all kind of crazy noise out in the middle of a swamp. And we think that's cool. We actually, that's one of the number one watch shows in the country is the Duck Dynasty guys. And we don't think that's weird, but we think a group of people put on regular clothes, come into a church and a regular thing and get up front and maybe make a few weird noises. We think that's extremely weird. You got to get past the mentality of just because you don't understand it, or maybe you've not been around it, or maybe you've not been taught on it, that it's weird. I've asked people to come into this season with an open mind. Because, see, for if you were to go to a Buddhist and try to convince him that Jesus died on the cross for him and Jesus rose from the dead, he's going to think you're weird too, but it doesn't make him right. Does that make sense? It's just because he hadn't been exposed to it. The Holy Spirit may be a new thing for you. Let me ask you a question by the raising of hands. How many of you guys in here are spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers? Raise your hand. All right? See, now look, right, a while ago, before we asked people to raise their hand, you probably didn't think the people sitting around you as weird as you do they are right now. Correct? You didn't realize that they're spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. And did you realize the person sitting beside you that raised their hand, they haven't done anything weird to you since you've been in this room? They're not contagious. You're not going to catch it. We said this for the last couple weeks, that we've never met anyone get ruined by being filled by the Holy Spirit. I've never seen anybody's life fall apart when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But yet we say, the Bible says, makes reference to the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, the same reference to being drunk with wine. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't think it's weird. We were out at the golf course today, and there were people all over that around the thing, walking around holding Bud Lights in their hand or different beers in their hands, and nobody out there thought that was weird. But yet, if I would have walked up to some of them and said, you know, I'm a tongue talker, they would have thought that's weird. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Spirit. The Bible goes against what we think is common on this planet, saying that the things of spirit should be common. So if it's a new or a weird concept to you, then you need to be open-minded to the things of God. And the Bible says in the New Testament, in 21 different scriptures in the New Testament, 20 different scriptures in the New Testament in the King James Version, it speaks of talking in tongues, or talking in other tongues, or talking in tongues that came from the Spirit. So it's not an uncommon thing. Think about it, is we've made it uncommon or we've made it weird. Think about it, is you don't got to be weird to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that I'm a lot weirder for other reasons than I am weird for speaking in tongues. I'm weird for things that I enjoy to eat. I eat things that my girl, the other day, me and Jennifer and the girls and Aunt Gabby, my little sister Gabby, we were up at Little Rock doing the wedding, and so Aunt Gabby was there, and so we went to a restaurant afterwards, and Gabby loves sushi, so we were sitting at she says she loves sushi, she loves rolls. Rolls are not sushi. And so we're sitting at the table. I said, "So you like sushi, Gabby?" And she said, "Yes." So I said, "All right." I told the waiter to bring us some raw shrimp. And when you order raw shrimp, what they do is they bring you raw tails, but they take the heads off and they dip the heads in oil and fry the heads and bring you the heads standing up raw. And they put them on the plate, and Gabby's like, "Oh, what is that?" And I said, "Gabby, it's good." And so, yeah, she's like, well, how do you, you got this big shrimp head with these big whiskers, and we took it, you make the little wasabi, and soy sauce, and you dip it in the rice, and then take a bite. And the outside is crunchy, but the inside explodes. And I didn't tell Gabby about this, so she did it and put it in and bit it, and she said, boy, you ruined shrimp for me forever, is what she said. Now, that was uncommon food. And so Gabby saw that, and she thought, Craig, you're weird. I can't believe you like that. I'm weirder for a lot of other reasons besides speaking in tongues. As a matter of fact, probably one of the only normal things about me is that I am spirit-filled and I speak in tongues. Because that was God's design and His plan for me ever since Adam and Eve sinned. Now, I got to admit, the first time I ever bit a fried shrimp head, I thought it was extremely weird too. Because if I've ever had fried shrimp before, it's supposed to have a certain texture and a certain flavor to it. And a certain, so when I saw the first fried shrimp head, I thought it was going to taste the same. And when I put it in my mouth and that thing exploded in my mouth, it caught me off guard too. And so it was the simple experience of it, not so much the taste of it, that turned me off. That's what's happened a lot of times in our lives. It was the experience maybe we were put through when it came to speaking in tongues that has turned a lot of us off. Instead of the real experience of the Holy Spirit. It was the way people reacted to it or what people did to it, or maybe it was looked at or upon and we didn't understand it. So tonight we're going to take a real basic look at speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about 2 weeks ago that the Bible says when Jesus left, He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And He told them to go to an upper room and wait, and I would send the Comforter to you. And then the Bible said this. Bible says when they got there, when the Holy Spirit came, it did something unique to them that they probably did not expect. It says when they were all in one accord, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now see, Jesus didn't say, go to the upper room and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He told them, go to Jerusalem and wait. Actually, the word said tarry, and I will send the Comforter to you. Now, they probably weren't expecting it to fill them from the inside out. They were probably expecting it to be like it was of days of old. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't come from the inside out. The Bible says the Spirit of God would come upon them. It came from the outside in. And the problem with a lot of people still today in churches, they're expecting that to be their experience with the Holy Spirit. They expect the Holy Spirit to come from the outside on them, and therefore, it taking complete control of them. Let you know something, number one, about the Holy Spirit. He's a perfect gentleman. He is not a forceful. He is not an abusive. He is not a controller. He is a leader. He's a guider. He's a comforter. And so, in times past, if you've maybe asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life and you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit and you're expecting the Holy Spirit to reach inside of you and grab a hold of your tongue and start slapping it around your mouth and make weird, that's not going to happen. That's not who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's gentle. He's kind. He's loving. But see, in the Old Testament, we get this picture of the Holy Spirit because like when Samson, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he had this supernatural strength and killed 1,000 men with the jawbone. That's what we're looking for, the Holy Spirit to come and take control. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes and He leads and He guides and He speaks and He draws and He convicts. It's all from the inside now. And so looking at, if you've been looking for the Holy Spirit to, or if you've been afraid of the Holy Spirit, that He's going to grab you and take control of your life, that's not going to happen. Even if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can quench Him, you can squish Him down and smash Him down, and you can take control of the Holy Spirit and not let Him be in control. There's a lot of churches, and I got to admit, I've been in a lot of services where the Holy Spirit would try to move, and I'm afraid I'm guilty of quenching Him by doing what I felt like needed to be done or did it the way I thought it should be done and those kind of things. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Perfect gentleman, and He will not do anything you do not give Him permission to do. So you don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit embarrassing you. Because if you don't give Him permission to do something in your life, He's not going to do it. If you don't give Him permission to fill your life, He's not going to do it. One of the key reasons why most people don't get filled with the Holy Spirit is because they're already full of stuff already. You're so full of something that there's no room for. So usually, one of the major reasons why people can't experience the being filled with the Holy Spirit is because they want to hold on to all their stuff. They want to hold on to their bitterness, and they want to hold on to their anger. They want to hold on to their hurt or their resentment. They want to hold on to their sins, or they want to. So there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to feel. And so if you're already full of it, you don't got to worry. The Holy Spirit's not going to come in and shove all that stuff out. He'll simply ask you, please lay this down. Please give this up. Please repent of this sin. Please give this up for me. Please lay this at the altar. And when you do, what happens is that space that it used to take in your life, He will fill up. He's a perfect gentleman. You don't have to worry about Him ruining you. And the Bible said, did you realize that no one except the 120 that were in the upper room got filled with the Holy Spirit that day? Why? Because if you didn't want what God had for you, you didn't have to go get it. Those that didn't show, there were 500 present the day Jesus told them to go. 120 actually showed up. And so the 380 that didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit didn't go to their house and jerk them out of bed and said, Jesus said you could have this and cram it down their throat. Don't happen that way. Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. So if you're not willing to invite Him in and give Him permission to come into your heart and come into your life and fill you up, you don't got to worry about being one of those crazy tongue talkers. It's not going to happen. He's not forceful. So number one is you got to understand, His nature is gentle. Number two, you got to realize there's power that He brings in your life that you can't get anywhere else. We mentioned this several weeks ago that the disciples, they did not have the power not to live fleshly. Although they had walked with Jesus for 3 years, spoke with Jesus for 3 years, hung out with Jesus for 3 years, and been taught directly by Jesus for 3 years, none of them could get their act together. For 3 years, they were still doubting. They were still fighting among each other. They were still bickering. They were still cussing. They were still getting angry and cutting people's ears off. They were still doing what you would say a fleshly Christian does. They were running from getting in trouble. They were afraid of what people thought of them. But the Bible says when they were filled with, as a matter of fact, Peter, the very one that just a couple chapters before in the Bible was swearing he didn't know Jesus, the very one that was denying Jesus 3 times, the very one that pulled out a sword and cut somebody's ear off, the very one that seemed to be the disciple that had the most flesh in his life, just a couple chapters later it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he stepped up with boldness and preached to one of the largest crowds he had ever spoke to. And he could not have done that without a power that he didn't have. So there had to be, what was it that took place from the last couple chapters in the gospel to the first couple chapters in Acts? It was he was filled with the Holy Spirit. There are certain powers and the ability and power of God that you will not have in your life unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, does it mean that I got to be a tongue talker? Well, Peter did. For that power to be released into Peter's life, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, he was speaking in tongues. Now, is speaking in tongues the filling of the Holy Spirit? No, it's just evidence, the Bible says. It's proof that the Holy Spirit's there. And I got to be honest with you. There are times and days that I get up that I need proof that the Holy Spirit's with me. I go into certain situations, or maybe I've done things or thought certain ways, and I just wonder, God, are you even with me right now? And then I can begin to speak in tongues, and it instantly cures that fear. Am I alone? Is God with me? Are you really with me like your word said? There's so many benefits to the Holy Spirit. But we talked about last week, the problem most people get weird about the Holy Spirit is this. Because there in the New Testament, there are 3 different types of speaking in tongues talked about. But when it was translated, it didn't pull out all individual 3 words. It pulled out just the word tongues. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it mentions all 3 different types of speaking in tongues. But when you read through there, it says tongues, tongues, tongues. But in the original Greek, it's actually different words. And we talked about last week, the first misconception people get about being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is because they don't understand that there are 3 different types. The first we talked about, the miracle of speaking in tongues. And that is completely up to the Holy Spirit. That is what the miracle of speaking in tongues is this. You've heard stories, or maybe you've watched it on TV. I told you one of my favorite stories is John Bevere. John Bevere says he was sitting on the front row praying in tongues. And after the service, the lady sitting behind him said, how did you ever learn to speak French in its original dialect? John said, I don't speak French. She goes, well, I'm from France. And you sat there and spoke to me in perfect French, old English, exactly what God had been telling me. That was the miracle of tongues. He didn't know French. But because he said the Holy Spirit, that is the miracle. Now, does the Holy Spirit do that every time? No, but it is evident in Acts chapter 2. It says this, and they were speaking in other tongues, and it says that everyone there was hearing the gospel in their own language. So it wasn't saying they were speaking those other languages. They were speaking in tongues. But the miracle of tongues, the Holy Spirit was taking what they were doing and causing a miracle to take place. And so there's the miracle of tongues. The next one is the gift of tongues. And it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's where people sitting in church and all of a sudden somebody stands up and gives a word in tongues. If you've ever been in any old Pentecostal churches, and it's almost a dead dialect now, you'll see somebody say, my aunt is really gifted in the area of that. I've never done it. But my aunt, my whole life, she usually sits here on Sunday morning. My whole life, I've watched her stand up there and give a speak out of this thing in tongues. And then somebody in the audience, or maybe even someone on the stage, stands up and gives an interpretation. That is called the gift of tongues. Now, it's not a day-to-day occurrence. The gift of tongues only happens in the congregation of the fellow believers. Don't happen in your prayer closet. That is the gift of tongues. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just like the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's the where you know the Spirit. What is it called? Yes, ma'am. The revelation, where you can, you know what I'm saying, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all the gifts. It's a divine, that's the one I was looking for, discerning of spirits. Jennifer has the gift of discerning of spirits. You can fool me easy. I'm easily fooled. You can make me think you're my friend real easy. And I let guard walls down. And Jennifer has the gift of discerning of spirits. Not everyone has that. Not everyone acts that. But Jennifer, we can meet somebody and walk away, and Jennifer says, you know, we need to watch out for that. I just, said she has a discernment. I can honestly say she's been right every time she's ever told me that. And I've watched it over the years. Most women have a stronger gift of discerning the spirits than men do. And so I'm just telling you this, husband, when your wife says, hey, I just feel something ain't right there, you better listen to it. Because that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Most men, I ain't saying not all men, but most men don't have that. I don't have that. You can fool me quick and make me mad later. Don't surprise Jennifer. She knew all along, But that's a gift. So speaking in tongues, there's a gift of speaking in tongues. But then thirdly, there is the prayer of tongues. And that's the one I want to talk about just for a few minutes tonight, is the prayer of tongues. Now, what the prayer of tongues is, it is like that we were talking about the jungle guys that have this weapon that kept them being impenetrable for years because they had the ability to speak this language that no one else had. And out of that came the recipe of that poison they put on their dart. The prayer of tongues is a thing that can be active in every believer all the time. That is filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, at any moment, at any time, at any place, and anywhere, you can instantly begin to pray in tongues or speak in the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not like the gift, the miracle of the Holy Spirit. It's not like the gift of the Holy Spirit or gift of tongues. It is a prayer language. Now, the purpose and reason for that prayer language is multiple. Last week, I had 101 benefits of speaking in tongues. I'm not going to get into all those. I want to talk just about a couple real quick that are my favorite. How many of you guys have woke up some mornings being a Christian, and it was like your joy was gone? That's normal. Let me tell you, that's normal. And one of the reasons why I have to have the prayer of tongues actively at work in my life is for this reason. Because I'd shared with you a couple weeks ago, it's like Christian life is like to me, in my mind, the simple-minded, a Yoo-Hoo. At my house, we drink a lot of Yoo-Hoos. I mean, if you got kids, Yoo-Hoos, we got the cans and we got the juice box. Now, the thing about a can and a juice box of Yoo-Hoo, the longer it sits in the shelf, the more the good stuff settles to the bottom. And the longer you let that stuff settle to the bottom, when you pop that thing up, if you don't push that straw down deep enough and get a suck of the good stuff, it tastes like water. Or, you can do what that can says, or do what that juice box says. You can take it and you shake that thing up and you get all that good stuff stirring up around it. Paul actually told Timothy this. He said, stir the gift that God has put on the inside of you up. Why? Why would he be telling Timothy to stir it up? Shake it up. Get it mixed around. Because the truth of the matter is, the longer you sit somewhere, the longer you sit on a pew, or the longer you've been saved, the good stuff has the potential to settle down. And that's why you can wake up some days and just not be happy, even though the, you know, when you first got saved, there wasn't a single bad day in your week. I mean, every day you were so, what it is, we forget what it's like to be forgiven. Is what really happens. And most Christians that have been in a church for any amount of time, they forget what it's like to be forgiven. And once you forget what it's like to be forgiven, what happens is you think that you are or don't need to be forgiven. The Bible says this, that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts. And the Holy Spirit is the one that draws. And so when I let the Holy Spirit settle down on the inside of me, and I let all those things, I forget what it's like to be forgiven. I get judgmental. I get critical. I get unhappy. I get bitter. I get, you know, you walk around here thinking, man, can you believe, look at them. You know they're just faking that up there. And you, all the goods, because all the Holy Spirit in my life settles down. Praying in tongues, man, keeps that thing shook up. If I want to start my day off good, I want to start my day off right, I start my day off, I pray in tongues. And I got to remember, the more I pray in tongues, the more exciting my life gets. It's like literally taking a can, in my mind's eye, I take a hold of my yoo-hoo, and I begin, when I'm praying in tongues, I begin to shake that thing around. Shake that thing around. See, the Bible calls it this. He says that he will put in you a river of living water. What does that mean? You know, a lot of Christians like that yoo-hoo. The longer it sits on the shelf, settles down. A lot of us are water, but what we are is we're just stagnant. You put a place of water, dig a mud hole or a pond deep enough, and when it goes through, you take a pond that's been there for years and put it through a drought or a hot season in the summer, that pond will do what they call turn upside down. You guys ever heard of a pond turning upside down? And everything in that pond will die because there's no fresh water coming in. And what happens is the conditions makes the oxygen all come out of the water. And once the oxygen all comes out of the water, that water is a death pool. And so all the fish in it can't live. That's what happens to a lot of Christians. They allow all the oxygen, which is oxygen. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came into the upper room, he blew in like a mighty wind. You pull that all out of somebody's life and you find a bunch of Christians turned upside down. And they're the ones causing more damage. What they need is they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, this is the question. All right. Well, when I got saved, didn't the Holy Spirit come in? Yes. That's the denominational doctrine belief between the Baptists and the Assembly of God. But let me answer that question to you. Yes, the Assembly of God believes you, the Holy Spirit came in you when you were saved. But there's a difference in having the Holy Spirit inside of you and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you may have got all you wanted of the Holy Spirit inside of you when you got saved. I got to be honest with you. When I got saved, there wasn't enough Holy Spirit in just that experience. I mean, enough of the Holy Spirit in that in me to keep me living right, keep me doing right. I needed to be full of the Holy Spirit to keep me wanting to go after the things of God. The disciple, you say, well, that's you, Cricket. Well, the disciples did not have enough in them just by receiving Jesus. They could not get the flesh out of their life until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you've been struggling with flesh or living fleshly or not changing, not getting joy in the Holy Ghost, if you've been struggling not having the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life, you need to be filled. Because you can take a garden and you can plant corn in it and you don't come back and do anything else to it and you let all the grass and everything, corn will still be in that garden. But man, the weeds outnumber the corn by far, and you may never see the fruit on that corn to stop because there's all that other stuff growing. Think about the Holy Spirit. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruits will be predominant in your life. If you can't walk in love, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you can't walk in joy, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you can't have patience, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, you need to be filled, because what happens is when you're full of the Holy Spirit, that's what becomes predominant in your life. And one of the ways to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to practice and actively be involved in speaking in tongues. This is how it works. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and the Holy Spirit will fill you. Then what the Bible says is this. There were some people that asked. There were some people in the Bible that were filled with the Holy Spirit several ways. One, they were obedient. They went to the upper room and the Holy Spirit came in. They had a desire, is basically what that one says. They had a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Bible says there were some that asked for the Holy Spirit, and they were filled. And then number three, there were some that had hands laid on them, and they were filled when hands were laid on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So I don't know what the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life was like, but if you desired it and you asked for it, or you had hands laid on you, I want you to know the Holy Spirit filled you. Now, whether or not you ever acted upon it, it does. I don't know. I don't know why it maybe didn't take. Use it. But for me, salvation, I used to say it like this. I got saved at least 200 times because the first 999 didn't take. And they really did take. What happened is I didn't let them stick. The Holy Spirit's the same way. You maybe have come up to the altar and asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit 250 times. Thing about it is He filled you every time. And when you walked away, if you did not act upon what He just did, you leaked out. The problem with humans is Larry Moore, he's the superintendent, he always says, problem with humans is this, they leak. So yes, you may have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you leaked out if you didn't constantly keep a river flowing. What keeps that river flowing? It's speaking in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues does a lot of things. It lets me pray about things I have no idea that are going on. Lets me pray about my future. Let me pray about your future. Without, the Holy Spirit's not a busybody. Why did God use tongues? Because God wants me to pray for Kay. Wants me to intercede for Kay. But He don't trust me with all of Kay's secrets. And that's just the truth. And He's got a good reason not to. So I can pray for Kay in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, and pray over every single thing she needs from God. And God don't have to worry, am I going to go out and tell everybody? I love the Holy Spirit. I love praying in the Holy Spirit. Because I can pray over you and about your deepest core needs in your life. And you don't have to worry about me ever telling anybody because I'm going to do it in the Holy Spirit. You say, how can that be? Because when you're praying in tongues, you're not praying human language. You're praying language of the Holy Spirit, of God. And your mind is out of it. It's just between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And when you're praying those mysteries, the Bible calls it, you're praying mysteries. What happens is it allows you to pray for things you have no idea. Your mind cannot even conceive. The truth is this. The Bible says your future is so big that you could not conceive it, and if you did, you could not even imagine how good it is God wants it for you. So how do I pray about those things? I can do it in tongues. When I pray in tongues, I'm praying about things that are so good in my future and so good in my family's future that if God really told me they were going to happen, I wouldn't believe Him anyway, so it would mess my prayers up because I couldn't have faith over it. But I can pray over those things in tongues, and it can be fulfilled because I have faith in what the Holy Spirit has to say. Now, do I understand what I'm saying when I pray in tongues? Absolutely not. Do I feel foolish when I speak in tongues? Yeah, sometimes I do. Especially when I first started it. When I first started praying in tongues, I felt stupid, real stupid. But the older I got and realized, you know what? For me to be walking in this room right here, I don't understand everything about gravity. Don't change the fact that gravity's not in this place. I don't understand everything about oxygen and airs and gases. But don't change the fact that I'm using them right now. Until I got old enough to understand that, then yes, the Holy Spirit was weird to me. But now I've gotten old enough and I guess mature enough to realize I don't have to know everything about everything to be able to take part of it. I could just trust. I don't know how they made this chair, but I was sitting in one while ago. And so there comes a place of maturity where you can just trust God, whether you feel stupid, whether you know about it or not. And what praying in the Holy Spirit is one of those things. Now, I told you last week, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the Coleman Lackey prayed for me, and I got one word. It was shun, shun, shun. And I felt stupid saying that, shun, shun. That didn't sound like the Holy Spirit to me, but think about it. What does the Holy Spirit sound like? I don't know. That's the only word He gave me. It's not a formula. You can't formulate the Holy Spirit. Like I told you in children's church, when I was a children's pastor for years, you would read a puppet skit about praying in tongues, and when it gets to a puppet to talk in tongues, they would say, untie my bow tie. Now, you've heard probably people in churches pray, you know, and it sounds like they're saying something silly or something funny like that. And in the natural mind, you're trying to figure out what they're saying. It's going to sound something like that, so you might try to mimic. But the Holy Spirit's going to be a language that's only yours and God's, and you're not going to be able to mimic anybody else's. When I started speaking today, it was first shun, shun, shun. And the more I would do that, shun, 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 God would begin to, and it don't make sense to anybody else, but it makes sense to me. I don't understand it, but it's my spirit connecting with God. And I got to be honest with you, I can't live without it. because I go through things in my day-to-day life that I'm telling you, I can't understand. I don't have a hope for. I don't have faith in. I go, and if it weren't for the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me and me being able to pray about those things in a heavenly language that takes my mind out, I'm telling you, I wouldn't get through them. I need the Holy Spirit, and I need an active prayer life in my life. Now you say, well, Cricket, that's just stupid. That's okay. If you don't want it, you don't got to get it. You just, I'm telling you, when I find a good product, Chris is that way. Chris, when he finds a good product, he's going to tell you about it. He's going to tell you about it. He's going to tell you about it. He's going to tell you about it so much that you eventually going to want one. This tablet right here, he showed it to me, and I ordered one. I still ain't got it in. I got to find out where it's at. But I ordered one of these because he's sold on it. I got to tell you, I'm sold on the Holy Spirit. I'm sold on it. And so there you say, Cree, why do you talk about it? Because I'm sold on it. It has dramatically changed my life. And I cannot imagine not having the Holy Spirit in me and allowing me to pray in an unknown tongue. The things that it does for me is unbelievable. And I know this, if it'll do it for me, it'll do it for you. And my thing is this, if you're tired of not being able to have the relationship with God that you've desired to have, or you've seen other people have, and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, try it. You can always quit. You can always turn your back on it. You can always decide, all right, that's enough, Holy Spirit. I don't get on out. I don't want no more. Brother Ford used to say this. He says, you know, he would talk to sinners, he said, you know, you should give the Lord a try, because if it don't work out, the devil will always take you back. I mean, think about it is this, if you're living a dull, dry Christian life, you should give the Holy Spirit a try, because you can always go back to living a dull, dry Christian life if you want to. But I'm telling you, when you get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it changes everything. Everything. This thing is like changing, going from a glass of water to a glass of water with an Alka-Seltzer in it. That thing just comes alive and you can't understand it. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. And the help and benefits you'll get out of it. But I'm going to give you a simple, there's not a formula for it. But there are simple procedures you can begin to take to begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit. One is you got to desire it. You got to understand that there's more to life than just dying and going to heaven. There is a will of God at work on this earth for you. I used to have a friend that would say it like this. Said, it's not the pie in the sky when you die mentality. You have to get the mentality of it's the size of the steak on the plate while you wait. God has so much in store for you here that if all you want to do is die and go to heaven, salvation will be enough for you. But if you want to live a life that God intended for you to live here, you're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit at work inside of you. So you got to start with the desire. Do you want more? And this even goes to tongue talkers. Do you want more? Called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Like I said, we leak. And so if you're here tonight and you say, you know, my Christian life's getting dull, you might need to get refilled. How do I get refilled? Man, you just pop. Where we used to live, there was this big hole in the ground. And you could tell there was a pond there because it was a big hole in the ground, but trees had all done grown up. But you would be walking in these woods and there was a dock built in this hole in the ground just out in the middle of the woods. It was a big hole with a dock and trees done grew up in it. And I was asking the person that owned that land one day, I said, man, what happened to that pond? And they said, we let some pigs years ago get out there and live in that area. And those pigs, one summer when the pond got low, they got into there and they started stomping around in there. And that was a spring-fed pond. But them pigs got in there rooting around and stomping around in a summer that was real hot and dry. And they clogged that spring up. And that pond has been dry ever since. See, there are Christians that maybe at one point used to have a spring of living water flowing on the inside of you. But because we've been living with pigs or living around pigs or having pigs involved in our lives, we've been stomped that thing down to the level where we're just dry and dull. You need to get refilled. Man, maybe you need to get the Holy Spirit to pull some of that old stuff out of the way to let that river flow again. And you do that by speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit will bring life to things. The Bible says that it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Now you got to understand, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Because it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So when you accepted Jesus, yes, the Holy Spirit moved in. How much of Him do you want? Do you want so much of Him that your cup runneth over. Jesus said, if you knew what I had, you'd have asked me for a drink because I'd have gave you a drink. You'll never be thirsty again. I'm telling you, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're about to close right here. I know it's time, but we're going to close. And Joe's going to start this song. It's not complicated. I tell you, I've led more kids into receiving the Holy Spirit, chewing gum and talking and making jokes, than I have adults ever being trying serious and begging God at the altar for the Holy Spirit to come in. Because it's not a complicated thing. It's not a complicated thing. Let's pull up one scripture, Joe. Well, you go to Acts chapter 2, 4. You already shut it down, didn't you? Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. I want to bring out one scripture. Then we're going to give people an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just felt like that's how we needed to close tonight. It's giving people an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. The Holy Ghost just didn't come in them. It said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So there is a difference in receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. These guys were already saved because they had already accepted Jesus to be the Son of God. They had already decided to obey Him. They decided to be in this upper room. So they followed Him and they did what He did. They were already saved. They already had the Holy Spirit in them. All right, but it said this, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit that day. So they were already saved, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, and began to speak in other tongues. Now this is the thing. This is where it throws a lot of folks off. They think the Holy Spirit made them begin to talk in other tongues. That's not what it said. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And who began to speak in other tongues? Who was it? They. That they carries on into that conjunctive sentence. It says, they were all filled and they began to speak in other tongues. Didn't say the Holy Spirit began to speak in other tongues. So if you've been waiting on the Holy Spirit to grab your tongue and slap it around your mouth, that's not going to happen. He's a gentleman. It says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, but they had to make the decision, the choice, and take the step to begin to speak it. Without your active participation in allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you, you will never be speaking in another tongue. You will get filled. You can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and the Holy Spirit will fill you. And I don't know how long it'll take you to leak back out, but you better get back to the altar and get it again, get filled up again. Or you can let yourself begin to flow with the Holy Spirit, and it will be a river of living water that will never run dry. And you can constantly stir that thing up and constantly pull that thing out of your belly. Also, it's a river of living water that He puts in your belly, so it bypasses your mind. But what we've done, and I'm just going to tell you, it's not a formula. There's no way I'm not going to get you up here and ask you to say untie my bow tie or go crank my Honda, any of that stuff. What I'm going to say is this. We're going to ask you to come up here if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to ask you. You coming up as number one shows you got the desire. Number two, you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And when the Holy Spirit fills you, the minute you ask, He's going to fill you. Then me and Pastor Jason, Sister Vasta, Pastor Mark, all the other prayer leaders come, and we're going to lay our hands on you. Why is it important that we lay our hands on you? Because Paul said this, stir up the gift that God's put inside of you by the laying on of hands. It's already in you. We're just going to help stir that thing up. That's what we're going to do. And so, just like shaking up that you, we're going to stir it up. And then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to listen with your inner voice. Not your outer voice. Remember I told you, Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did it on you. New Testament, the Holy Spirit does it in you. So it comes out of you. And so what I've always done, and people, I've been accused of a lot of things, so it don't matter what you accuse me of. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath. And I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and let that breath out. When you let that breath out, this is your choice. Whether or not you let your tongue begin to move and you put a sound to it. Does that make sense? See, I can do this. And that's breath in, breath out. And that came from the inside of me. Or I can go, and I put a sound. Did you see that same breath? I put a sound to it. When it comes to praying in tongues in the Holy Spirit, you have to put the sound to it. I'm just going to make it as simple as I can for you. And so you're going to be filled when you ask. We're going to stir you up when we lay our hands on you. But then I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to open your mouth just a little bit. Why do I ask people to open their mouth just a little bit? For this reason. is because it's easier for somebody's tongue to move when their mouth is open. It's hard to understand anybody when their mouth is closed. I've tried to be a ventriloquist for years. I am no good at it. Just the other day, I was playing with my girls, and I was, you know, trying to do it. And Lexi was like, "You're doing that. I can see your lips moving. I can see your lips move." It's impossible for me to talk without my mouth being open. And the truth is, it's impossible for me to pray without my mouth being open. And it's impossible for you to speak in tongues without your mouth being open. And so, what you're going to do, you cover, and then we're going to lay hands on you. You're going to close your eyes. We're going to ask you to open your mouth. And then we're going to ask you to begin to let whatever sound is on the inside of you come out. And I'm here to tell you, whatever sound comes out is your heavenly prayer language. It is your own private intercession with God. It is what the Bible talks about, the prayer in tongues. And you can take hold to that thing, whether it's one word or 500 words, and you can walk out of here, and every day you can begin to let that come out of your spirit, and you will get all the benefits and the power of praying the prayer of tongues in your life. And I'm telling you, your life will never be the same.